Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 2 weeks since my last podcast. In repentance, I will do one today. Or whatever. I don't know. Have you guys ever been to Catholic school? I had to do that shit every Wednesday. Every Wednesday for 12 years of my life. Yeah, and to use the words of the great George Carlin, I was a Catholic until I reached the age of reason. And that's obviously jokes, people. I have no discrimination towards your views, towards your orientation, towards your what you like to do. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. We're all people. We're all fun. We're all friends. I'm not a bad guy. You're not a bad person. Just listen to me. Don't worry about what I believe. Because maybe I'll talk about that later. Maybe I'll talk about Catholic school, Bible, stuff like that. But I don't know. I don't want to be polarizing, so therefore I might not do it. Yeah, way to go. Way to start the podcast off, Ty. Way to piss off half your listeners right away. Maybe they're not pissed off. Maybe you guys are like, oh, well, who cares? Tyler's that way, and that's all. Or TG's that way. I don't know who Tyler is. But, yeah, confession was fun. I actually, the reason that, well, the first time I questioned stuff was when I was like, I think I was 12 or 11, and I didn't go to like a super strict Catholic school, like, in grade school. Anyways, I had a couple nuns, but for the most part, it was just normal people, lack of a better word. But yeah, I was eating my lunch, of which my mom made me, because I wasn't cool enough to eat the shitty hot lunch, which I still to this day don't eat boiled carrots or boiled any vegetables for that matter. I can't, just because of the constant smell and the fucking kids mixing carrots and milk and mashed potatoes together, and I about threw up every single day. So I couldn't even eat hot lunch. I had to eat whatever my mom made me. And for whatever reason, it was a Friday during Lent, and and I had a ham sandwich because who the fuck cares? It's Friday, and I was hungry. My mom made me a ham sandwich. She had a little bit of a relapse, not being a good parent, because she packed her kid a ham sandwich on Friday. So I ate it, and my principal comes over and says, "Tyler, we're gonna need to send you to the principal's office." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "I think I was whatever." I said 11, maybe, I don't know. And she goes, "Because you're breaking Lent or whatever, Lenten tradition." And I'm like, I'm going to go to the principal's office. And sure as shit, she made me go to the principal's office, and I had to sit there with a straight face and tell the principal why I was there. And he sent me to confession. So the priest had to do whatever the priest was doing, listen to me talk. And I was so sorry for eating a ham sandwich. So yeah, that's when I started to laugh and have fun with life and be like, oh, this is weird. But yeah, so that's that. I think I'm going to hold off on advertising, but maybe I won't. No, why don't you guys check out Amazon.com? Because if you do, we get money, and you guys don't have to spend extra money. You guys already know. I know you do your shopping on Amazon.com. I have a super ridiculous cologne collection, and I get every single one of them off of Amazon.com. If you guys want to smell amazing, get some Sean John Unforgivable. It's legitimately the best cologne I've ever had, and I have never, ever, ever had a bad compliment from it. Well, I don't know if there's bad compliments, Tyler. That's not a real thing. Compliment's a compliment. I never had a bad reaction to it. It is, I don't know. If you're a dude and you like to smell good, get some Sean John Unforgivable. Your wife, your girlfriend, your girl at the bar would love you till you die if you wear this in front of her. Stick some behind your ears, walk up to her, tell her a little secret, and make sure you lean into her when you're listening to her secret. Whatever you guys do. And she'll be like, "Oh my God, what is that? It's cologne. What are you wearing?" And then you'll be like, it's Sean John Unforgivable. Yes, the Sean John, yes, Puff Daddy. That's his cologne. It's amazing. I could not recommend it more. Anybody that knows me knows that I've probably gone through 5 bottles of it since high school. So I think Amazon sells that. Yeah, they do. They sell it. they sell it off of, I think it's fragrance.net is where they get their product from, or it's like jointly affiliated, or however Amazon works. I really have no fucking idea. I just know that if you guys buy some stuff from Amazon.com, we get like 4 to 8% of it goes directly into our account, and we can buy more shit with it to improve us, improve our company, improve our interaction techniques. Who knows? That all is well and good. So that's about that. And I guess I'll start the podcast right now. Yeah, if you guys want to not be like depressed or whatever, I would either fast forward right now into about 10 minutes or whatever, because I kind of had a pretty shitty week. That's why I didn't do a podcast last week. I just had a bad week. This is something that's going to get people. If you guys are, like I said, sad story, but whatever, life happens, and you just got to get over it. So I had house sat and watched my dogs for the week, 2 weeks ago. My parents were out of town, so I house sat, and the dogs, I have two dogs. One of them's blind, and one of them, Bucky and Boomer, one of them was, just gets sick sometimes, and he just had like a weak immune system, whatever. We actually got him from like a breeder that was shitty, so, you know, if you don't do your research, and you just get some dogs from a breeder, you better make sure you look to make sure that it's a clean environment. But he bought them actually from a puppy mill, and it wasn't a good situation. So we bought two dogs. I was like 16 when I bought them. My parents bought them. And so last week, whatever, my dog Boomer always coughs because he's got some bronchitis thing or bronchial issue he's had his whole life. And I mean, he was just coughing really bad, and I give him his medicine, and he stops and whatever. So my parents get home, and he just starts moping around and starts coughing up blood. We took him to the doctor. He's, like, super, like, depressy and not moving. And it was really strange because he's a super active dog, and he always, like, played fetch and stuff, and he was always just running all over the place all the time. He had so much energy. It was insane. So, like, it was just really weird. You just know exactly when you look at a dog's face, and you're just like, okay, something ain't right. And my blind dog was acting funny, too, because I'm pretty sure they can sense each other, you know, that whole thing. So we took him to the vet, and turns out he had, like, some really, really bad fungal infection in his lungs, and he was in critical condition. And so over the next 48 hours, I witnessed my dog just dying. Like, it was just brutal. Like, he couldn't move. His eyes were tearing up. He was drooling. He couldn't control himself. And I went to the vet, and I'm like, look, I need to put him down. I can't. And the vet's like, no, he's not suffering, and he's not suffering. Just let him take this medicine. We're giving him a high dose. And I just saw the life get sucked completely right out of him. And it was just terrible. And then, like, I was pissed off because the vet gave me false hope and stuff, and our family false hope. So, you know, I'm at work, and my dad goes, Tyler, Boomer can't move. We just had to put him in the back of the car. We're taking him to the hospital. And then he said, like, 10 minutes later that Boomer just died in the car. Like, he just died. And it was so, so terrible. And he was just such a great dog. And now it just happened so fast, and it was just one of those terrible things that happened. You know, it sucks because you get dogs and they're just such great companions and, you know, everything like that. And then all of a sudden they're just basically tragedies just waiting to happen. I mean, eventually they're going to die, and it's, I mean, seriously, I've taken, and I don't mean this to sound shitty or whatever, but, like, even family members that I don't really talk to that much, I've taken easier than dogs dying. Like, dogs are just so hard to take, and I don't even know what the problem is. Like, you know, those Sarah McLachlan commercials, you watch them and I can't even watch those stupid commercials, and I can watch Starving Kids in Africa commercials without really that big of a problem. I know that makes me sound bad, but it's really the truth. I mean, I don't understand what it is about dogs and the innocence that they have, maybe. I have no clue, but it was a rough day, and I was at work, and I'm just like, good God, and I deliver stuff, so I had to, like, sit there right there. I told my dad's like, he had Boomer. I watched him die, and I'm just like, Dad, why didn't you just wait until after I was done with work to tell me, you know? And then, so I had to compose myself, which I did. Then that happened, and, you know, you gotta get over it. It's just it's what life is. Life happens, and you just gotta deal with it the best you can. So I went out running, because I usually like to exercise and stuff when I'm not depressed, but whenever I feel funky, I just go out and run or go lift or do whatever. Fishing, I don't actually. Funny thing is like when I fish because of everything, for every reason, to get away, to clear stress. But when something tragic happens, fishing's like the last thing that I actually want to do, to be honest, because, well, I shouldn't say that. The day it happens, probably not. Just because I would just think about it the whole time. I wouldn't even focus, so I just went out and busted my ass out on exercising, and I got the, whatever you want to call it, the depression, the rock out of my stomach. I ran, did some hill workouts like I always did for, like, track and stuff like that. So, what day was that? That was Tuesday? Whatever, it doesn't matter. The next day I wake up and my foot kind of hurts. And I have a bunch of ankle problems and foot problems and stuff, and I have my whole life. So it's like, oh, well, I probably just strained the foot or whatever. Whatever, no big deal. It happens all the time, muscle issues. So I got home, and I just froze a little ice cup or a little water in a Dixie cup, and then just, oh, this is boring as shit, stop. But I just rolled my foot on it, and it made it feel better. And I woke up in the morning, and I couldn't even walk. Couldn't walk at all. And I was just like, you got to be fucking kidding me. My dog dies yesterday, and now my foot, I can't walk. So I go to the doctor. Yeah, sure enough, I got a stress fracture in my one of my bones, my foot, for no reason. I don't know. I'm 24 years old. Somehow my bones just break. And so then I call Casey, and, you know, I told him, because I had a tournament with him this weekend. And I'm like, look, Casey, I am in the doctor's office right now. I have a broken foot. And he goes, so... The funny thing is about Casey is the first thing he says is, oh, what's the prognosis for the tournament? Or what's the, I forget how he worded it. It was something to the effect of, like, equating it to, like, what's the injury report for High Falls Reservoir? And I said, well, the fantasy report on Tyler Gallochner says questionable, but I'm going to play. Like, so, I mean, there's no way I wouldn't. After a few days, it's like, you know what, that's when I start to fish. It's just like, get back into your normal routine and get back in gear and keep pushing through. And it was a rough week. It sucked. And, you know, and I just had dealt with my mom going through some issues with her medical stuff. And it's just been a really weird, like, last couple, like, month and a half. But, you know, and the fishing's been kind of tough and kind of been in a funk. I broke out of it a little bit, but then, so we fish High Falls, which we've never done well at all, either one of us, and we did one time when we zeroed in, like, a 60-boat tournament, and it was a big tournament, and it sucked, so we have no confidence. Casey didn't really get on much in practice, and Casey and I live pretty far apart, so he generally just practices by himself, and I just show up for the tournaments, basically, but most of the tournaments up there, I've fished 100 of them. I've fished those lakes 100 times. So, like, most of them he doesn't even practice. But this one we really wanted to practice and get good at. So anyways, we kind of found something. He's like, well, we'll flip and we'll catch our limit. And he goes, he found, like, a patch of weeds out on a big flat that held him for whatever reason. One patch out of a whole huge expansive flat had fish, and the other ones didn't. So we caught three right in a row in the morning. Caught a couple, filled our limit out frogging. We think we had like 8.5 pounds. So then we just start running slop, trying to catch fish frogging. Well, then we don't catch really, we kind of upgrade by like ounces. So we're at like 10 pounds, 11 pounds, whatever. And generally, like, you want to, out there, I think it's about 15 pounds generally wins, or at least in the past 16, 17 pounds. I mean, there's big fish. There's big smallmouth, big largemouth. It's pretty big body of water, but it's high pressured, so it's a strange lake. And so he's like, well, 3 years ago I caught a 4-pounder up river, And we go there, and remind me to talk about this, guys. Remind me to talk about this, not theory, but ask a question later. Obviously, you can't. I'm joking around. You just keep yelling into your iPhone or whatever you're listening to this off of. And he goes, so then we fish there, and oh shit, Casey forgot to look before 3 years ago, but the water temperature is like 10 degrees cooler. It's a trout stream right there where he caught that 4-pounder. So we fish, and on the same patch of lily pads, I caught a 375 and then a 305, I think, something like that. We have two, so I mean, two good ones, and both frogging, and it was just so much activity back there. We were catching fish. We upgraded a bunch, and so we ended up salvaging the tournament. We didn't really do anything else. We were just running pads, in which me and him both hate doing. We hate throwing frogs over pads, especially spros, but that's what they were biting on. That was a good deal. It wasn't quite deep enough underneath the pads to punch or to flip like a whatever pit boss or a chigger craw, whatever you want to flip into the pad fields. But it wasn't like anything specific. It was just big clumps of pads with no other grass around it. And sometimes they were in the opening, sometimes they were in the middle of the pads. You know, we missed a few. Kind of one of those just normal frogging days. It wasn't a good day. It wasn't a bad day. It was just about a 50-50. You'd land about half of the ones that blew up. And it was a difficult day. I mean, it was fun, actually, though. It was one of those days that was actually fun because I haven't gotten on a really good frogging bite this year. That was, like, the first one, actually, all year that I've really got on a good frogging bite. And, you know, it's just, it's tough. And you know, it's kind of, we kind of talk about this all the time, but Casey and I especially, like, certain days, like, it's so nice. I mean, yeah, it's cool to have, like, singles tournaments or whatever, but it's amazing on how partner tournaments work because sometimes you're just off. You're just off. And the other person isn't. Like, I happen to have a good day and Casey missed a couple. And that's just the way the shit works. The way shit goes. And if Casey was fishing by himself, he wouldn't have done that good. And that's just the way the world works. And it happens to me all the time. There's a tournament that we have coming up that we beat everybody by 10 pounds. And I probably caught 20 fish that day. Casey probably caught 60, and I bet you Casey had all five. I think he had all five. I know he had our two biggest, and I know he had one of the other three for sure. Probably had the other two, and it's just like, drop your ego off at the door, especially when you're fishing a partner tournament, because it doesn't really matter. As long as you get those five in the boat, don't resent your partner because you caught more fish or he caught more fish. It doesn't matter at all. Like, I've had it plenty of times with Adam and I all the time. It happens to us all the time. There's been very few tournaments where both of us have been on. Granted, that tournament Casey and I did, we were both kind of on, but Casey just caught the bigger fish. He was on a bigger pattern than I was. He was on bigger bites than I was. I don't know why. I can't explain it. That happens. But when you're both on, you generally win. And it's just, you got to, the way it, anything, I don't know. I don't know where I'm kind of going with this, but it is one of those things that's completely indicative of all my tournaments and all the tournaments I've ever partner fished. And it's just, I don't know. It's what makes the sport fun. It's what makes it great, and camaraderie and, you know, the people you talk with and how everybody else caught them. It's just fun time. But, shit, I was going to say something. What was I going to say? You guys forgot to remind me. Oh, yeah. Well, that was kind of we ended up taking fourth and got big bass in my walking boot. So that was kind of nice. I mean, we broke even basically for the tournament. So it's whatever. It's fun. I mean, it's great that we broke even, but it's hilarious how this sport works, how you break even, and that's a success. And even though we didn't break even because of gas total and all the shit and equipment we have. But yeah, no, what I was going to say earlier, I think 12, 13 pounds, 13 pounds won, and we had like, Christ, Case, what do we have? 12, 4, 4? I don't know why I'm asking you, but yeah. 12, 4, 4, I think we had, and it was 13 and change won, and it was a really shitty day for everybody, apparently. We always joke about that, like, when we have a tough day or we have like a low weight, and we know it, we're just like, oh, well, maybe it was tough for everybody, and it never is tough for everybody. I mean, we've all been there, and the funny thing is when we caught those 20 pounds on a tournament last year, which we have coming up in 2 weeks, which I'm super pumped about. We had 20 pounds and we're like, watch, this is the time it's going to be tough for everybody. And it was tough for everybody. We weighed 20 pounds. The second place was 10 something. And we, every fish we had would have won big bass other than ours, you know? So it was one of those days and it was awesome. But yeah, it's never tough for everybody. So just, you got to just fish all the whole time and just crack your biggest bag you want. And it's always that one fish that's the game changer. And if you don't get that one fish, you're not going to win generally. That's the very much so the rule of thumb. Like I always catch, we get that 4-pounder or the 5-pounder, especially around here. You're just like, okay, we got this tournament won. If we can, you know, put the rest of this day together. But it's always, you got five fish that are about the same size. You're like, oh, we just need that one more to get one of these gone. You know, it's so, but anyways, what I was going to ask and ponder about is what the fuck is it that makes your memories just trigger when it's tournament fishing? I don't know about you guys, but I have a pretty good memory in most things. Like, I have a very trivial mind. Like, I know stupid stats from 1975. I wasn't even born, but I just grew up reading it in sports and stuff. Casey's the exact same way. Like, if you guys ever want to have a fun challenge, you challenge me and Casey in a Jeopardy tournament. And we'll probably show you up, just to let you know. Anything, just doesn't matter what it's about. But yeah, anyways, joking around. But what is it that you can not be somewhere for 5 years and exactly remember the tree, the conditions, the day, the bait you were using, how you caught it, where you caught it? Like, I've fished for a solid 8 years now, like hardcore, and I'll be on a body of water, and I've had caught thousands and thousands of fish. I'll be on a body of water, and I'll be like, oh, I remember last year I caught a 4-pound smallmouth right there. I caught a 6-pound smallmouth right here. I remember that weed patch right there. I caught a 5-13 largemouth. I remember that weed patch. I caught a whatever. And you know, it happens over and over and over again. There's this weird number. I forget what the name of it's called. I should look it up. It's something, some number. It's like Hodgkin's number. I know it's not Hodgkin's number, but it's one of those theories or whatever, or I don't even know what it's called. But like, you can only recognize so many faces, you can only remember so many people. I know that there's more than enough memories of fish catches stored in my head. And I know it's not as complex as a face or as a number or as a name, whatever like that, but it's amazing on how your memories are triggered when you're fishing. This is, doesn't mean anything. You guys could, is this part of the podcast is just me talking. Like, I find hold that to be true on all the time. Like, I remember we'd be fishing and Casey, I'll be like, yeah, do you remember the time when, and then he'll say, you caught that 4.5-pounder right there and it, on the High Falls tournament or on the Reservoir Pond tournament, whatever you want to say. It's just so strange and how that works. And it's just, I don't know. That's about all I have to say. It's not a whole lot to talk about. It's, like I said, it's been a really tough week. And I don't know. I guess, I haven't even talked about it since the Bucks drafted Jabari Parker. Not that you guys care, but I'm super pumped about the Bucks and Jason Kidd and all that stuff. Yeah, it's really cool to see the franchise moving in a direction that I haven't seen moving since I've been alive. Like, it's actually, I turn on ESPN and the Bucks were on ESPN without the tagline Clippers Dunk Party. And it's actually like people are, you know, there's a cool aura. Like, I've been at the bar and people are talking about the Bucks. Like, it never happens, even around here. Like, and I know it's a joked about franchise, and anybody that's listening that's not from Wisconsin, that even maybe if you're from Wisconsin, you don't give a fuck about the Bucks. But I'm just a loyal, huge Bucks fan, and it's great to see a guy like Jabari Parker, just a great down-home person that wants to be here. And then you got Jason Kidd, who's, you know, he's got his problems, but who the hell doesn't? Like, I don't know. Everybody's got their problems. Everybody's got their demons. Everybody's got their issues. And, you know, I choose not to think about it, because if I thought about everybody that had a demon and everybody had a problem, I wouldn't like anybody. So I don't know where these fucking pundits get off talking about Jason Kidd's personal life. Like, you're holier than thou and you haven't done anything in your life. It's just like, you know, I get sick of people that, I'm really, really, really fucking fed up about people that start judging other people, but they don't look in the mirror at all. They're never one to look at all at themselves and what they've done. Maybe, I mean, just who cares what they think, man? It's not, life's short. What's bogging you down about what I do or what you do or whatever that person does? You know, just live it. Just be like, oh, that person doesn't choose to live this way. That doesn't mean he's wrong. So quit being a dickhead about it. Like, I don't know. Yeah, Jason Kidd has problems. We all have problems. I mean, if you don't have problems, you're lying. That's the only thing I say. Like, you show me someone who is completely, you know, never gotten in trouble, never done anything wrong, and I'll show you someone who's lying. It's just, it holds true all the time. If it doesn't, you can't tell me that you're just a completely sinless person or whatever word you wanna say about it. So just don't be a dick. That's all. That's one of my like influences in my life. My English teacher in high school basically got me to come out of my shell completely. Like, I was such a loner in high school, and I was just obsessed with track and football, and it's just, I didn't really have many friends, and I didn't really talk much in class. I didn't go through puberty till I was like 20 years old, so I was really awkward. Not that anybody else wasn't awkward in high school, but I just got anxiety talking to girls and everything, and you know, I don't know. And Mr. Mank, he got me to come out of my shell completely. And I started questioning things. I kind of brought up, I think I read a Robert Frost poem on one of my podcasts. I don't remember which one. I know I did. But yeah, and he just, his main philosophy was, don't be a dick. And that's like legitimately resonated with me till I'm 24 years old. It's going to resonate with me my whole life. It's such a stupid, simple thing. But honestly, what joy do you have? If you're a dickhead, or if you get offended, if you get all pissy, there's something wrong with you. In my opinion, I know I just said don't judge people, but like someone who gets super offended, like I kind of equated this to someone that I was having a conversation with, and they got offended by something that I said, which just happens. But okay, I was like, if I called you gay, would you get offended? Well, no, I'm not gay. Well, exactly. That's my point I'm making. The reason that you're offended is because you're unhappy about something that I said that you are unhappy about in your own life. In my opinion, obviously take this with a grain of salt, because I'm no fucking philosopher. But I don't even know where I'm going with this. Why am I talking still? This is just pointless. You guys are not even, you're getting raped in the ears right now from me talking. But seriously though, it's just like, why are you getting offended by that? Be comfortable with yourself. Like, if you're not comfortable with yourself, well then, you know, maybe you should look at yourself. Maybe change a little bit. Maybe have a conversation with somebody. There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with going to see a therapist. Seriously. Nothing wrong with anything. You know, it just look for your outlets, and you know, you'd be a better person that way too. Wow, Tyler, you're getting deep as shit on this podcast. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. It's not called Bass Squad Radio for nothing. That didn't mean anything. That completely made no sense. But shit. Oh yeah. Not a whole lot of nerd reports to go on, but I'll give you my new kick in life. And I have pretty well documented sleep disorder, and I have insomnia, and I have night terrors. So don't sleep over with me. It's a bad idea. And many tournament guys can attest to this. Teddy has stories. Carter has stories. Casey has stories. Adam has stories. Tim has stories, Jake has stories, all you guys know that I'm a nightmare to sleep with, pardon the pun with the night terror thing, but if I find something that works for me to go to sleep to, I stick with it. And lately, you know what my kick has been? Watching psychopath, like Bible literalists or crazy evangelist preachers. For whatever reason, that's been making me fall asleep easy. Don't ask me why. I stumbled on it, and as I was watching like a documentary, I forget which documentary I was watching, Jesus Camp maybe, on Netflix, and I was watching it, and I passed out like hard, and I slept all night, and I'm just like, damn, that was awesome. I didn't sleep all night for a long time. Next night, I turn on Jesus Camp again, instantly pass out. So I'm like, well, maybe there's something to this crazy evangelist stuff. So I look up, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Ray Comfort, but he's a psychopath evangelist. And You know, he's not a psychopath, Tyler. You just contradict yourself. He's believes what he believes. So just don't say that. But anyways, so I was watching him. Woke up the next morning, laptop open. I was just like, no shit, I fell asleep again. So like the last month and a half, I go to sleep every night to watching evangelist preachers and their craziness. And I like it. And I've been very well rested lately, even after all this shit's been going down. So if you guys need help sleeping, don't be afraid to look up Ray Comfort Banana. Because, okay, I don't want to get into the whole problem, but the whole issue what I'm dealing with or what I'm saying, but he basically completely disagrees with evolution. You may disagree, you may agree, I don't care. It's like I said, but the way he puts it is pretty hilarious. If I can paraphrase, essentially what he does is he says, look at this Coke can. It's got a tab. It's got paint. It has Coca-Cola written on it, and I'm demonstrating it, obviously. Therefore, we theorize that it has a creator. It didn't just rise from nothing. So this is him trying to debunk what evolution is. Didn't just rise from nothing. We assume it has a creator. There's evidence there's a creator. So then that's why he's saying God created the world in 7 days. Whatever the Bible, you know, the Bible in Genesis, what it says. Taking it literally. So he does the Coke can. So he puts that down. And he goes, what people that are evolutionists can't describe, and instead of Coke can, I was actually using the Line and Kugel's Summer Shandy can to demonstrate to the people not watching, because you can't watch this. Maybe I'll get a Ustream and videotape myself doing it, because I talk with my hands so much I can get my point across way better. But anyway, so then he reaches under his pocket and in his pocket and grabs a banana and says, if you look at this banana, it's got ridges for your hands, which is the ridges on the banana. And he said, and it's beautifully, it's got the color that changes when it's ready to eat. It's got a tab, and he grabs the top of the peel and peels it, and he goes, and opens up, and even it's even curved to go into your mouth. And it's just so many, like, phallic jokes. I mean, it seriously, it's hilarious. It's one of the most hilarious. It legitimately looks like a Monty Python sketch. It's absolutely hilarious, and that's his reasoning why evolution is false. But, and he's New Zealand, he's a New Zealander, so he has like an Australian type of accent. But what he failed to mention is that bananas are human created. They're actually like genetically picked, basically, to genetically, like I said, I'm not a scientist, so I'm not going to get into it, but I know that humans had a hand in creating the banana from a plantain in the natural sense. Like, how the bananas look right now is not like how bananas look in the wild. Like, they're not, that's not what it is. They're genetically modified, essentially. They're basically naturally selected by a human. So his argument is hilarious because we made them. Like, and yeah, you can say, well, that also means there's a creator, whatever. Whatever your views is, like I said, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to you. It shouldn't matter to you what my views are. I don't have to say it. You guys probably know what my belief system is. And I don't want to polarize anybody, because I like to hear what your opinions are too. I love conversation. I love having talks about anything, whether it be politics, religion, gay marriage, anything. But I will warn you that if you do say something funny, I will probably put you in my stand-up act, and that is a no offense to you. If it's funny, I'm going to turn it funny. So, yeah, I'm pretty pumped because, well, not pretty pumped, but the hour that I've been working on for stand-up is getting pretty good, I would assume. Well, to me, I did it last winter, and it was real shaky. I had a lot of bits, but they weren't very good. But now, I've kind of developed them into something that I'm really, really excited about and getting better. Obviously, I don't do it in the summer. And yeah, if you're like legitimate stand-up or whatever, you gotta do it all the time to stay good. But I don't, because I fish. So I don't have time to be working, fishing, and doing stand-up at night at 2 in the morning. Because, I mean, I'm not good yet, so I get the spots, like the open mic spots at the end of the night, which I'm gonna do in October or whatever, whenever fishing is essentially over for me. because, you know, we got winters to deal with. But yeah, so I've, it's extremely, extremely raunchy. And if you guys are ever in the Milwaukee area, or if I move, I'm planning on, might get a new job up in Green Bay, so I might be moving up near Sturgeon Bay, which would be awesome. But I'd, I'll tweet it out. I don't know if I'm going to tweet it out through Bass Squad because it's not really affiliated with us. But yeah, pretty excited about it. I got a lot of new things that I'm working on, and it's I don't know. I don't know if they're good yet because I haven't had any like human feedback when I'm the new stuff that I'm working on. But if you guys want to hear it, maybe I'll record something. Because I recorded my hour from front to back that I have 2 days ago. And obviously there's no crowd. There's still the timing's off. Not really off, but it's not completely great, but I don't know. I'm gonna probably record it about two or three more times until I'm happy with it, and then, you know, memorize it. I have all day when I'm driving, so I just listen to it over and over. Yeah, 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 I know. I'm listening to myself over and over, but that's how I memorize my shit. It's better that way for me. But to be honest with you, ever since like last fall is when I first started doing like stand up. I've been obsessed with stand up comedy my whole life, and I never really done it. Never really thought about doing it. But I write and I like to do all this stuff. And it's like, well, why the fuck haven't you done it yet? Like, it doesn't make any sense. And so I did it, and I wasn't great, and I wasn't smooth because I thought I was better than that. And I don't know. I had this weird ego thing going on, and earlier last year, around last summer, that was a little different. And, you know, it was a year ago. But then I started doing podcasting, and turns out that just talking by yourself for 30 to 45 minutes, whatever it is, it's insane how much that helps your creativity and helps your vocal, the way you talk to people, to everything. And it is if you guys are ever thinking about pursuing stand-up, and I don't know if any of you are, I'm probably the only man in the history of the world who loves stand-up comedy and loves bass fishing. So so what I'm saying is if you want to, do it. Podcasting helps like 1,000,000%. And I know that's not a real thing, but you formulate things way better and way quicker. Like, I was recording myself, and all of a sudden an idea popped into my head, and it turned out to be one of the funnier things I've said. And I didn't have it written down. Like, I have my bits written down, my funny sayings on my phone and stuff like that that I come up with during the day. And it's just like, wow, that I ad-libbed for like 10 minutes, and it's just like, wow, that turned into an actual joke. And yeah, it's good times. I mean, you know, I had, like I said, it's tough. It was a tough week, but I've always, always said that every time that something really bad happens, something really good happens right after. I mean, it's just the way life works. You struggle, you struggle, you struggle, and every time you struggle, something good's gonna come from it. If you commit to it, if you give up on it, then no, nothing's good gonna happen. You gotta keep pushing, busting your ass, and doing it. And yeah, it's gonna suck for a lot of the time, but you'll come out of it, I swear. And it's, life's good right now. I'm about to get off my walking boot because I don't trust my doctor. He doesn't know anything. So I'm not joking. But yeah, so it's a good week looking ahead. I'm not going out on the lake this weekend because I live in a shit fest on July 4th. It's going to be terrible. So I'm not even going to bother going out this weekend. I'm probably going to just, you know, have a relaxing time, not have any alcoholic beverages, not eat anything bad, just chill out. Just joking. I live in Wisconsin, and we're probably going to have a shindig on Friday. Well, you know what? Fuck it. We're going to have a Thursday, Friday, Saturday party, I'm assuming. I mean, that's how we do it. I've told the story before, I'm sure, on the podcast where, I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but I'll tell it again. I don't care. One of my funnier Wisconsin drinking stories. We had a tournament down in, it was the national championship on Pickwick. It's 2012 now. Damn. That Adam and I were down there, and we had a tough first day. And a lot of the guys that we were rooming with at the La Quinta Inn were all from the south. There was no other northern teams besides our other UWSP team that were staying there. Oh, yeah. I'm getting hammered tonight. And the guy said, I'm like, yeah, yeah, us too. I mean, y'all want to come drink with us? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, me and Adam and Noah, we got together and we're like, these guys want to drink. And they're like, oh, I don't think it, either. You know, they were talking shit essentially about Wisconsin and how they can drink harder than us. And I'm like, dude, I don't think you quite understand. I'm not proud of it, but that's this like legitimately our culture. Like, that's what we grew up on. I don't mean to say that, but we grew up on that. And so anyways, so Noah, Adam, and I go get 2 18-packs or 2 24-packs, whatever, of Busch Light. And the 6 Southern guys had a case of beer between the 6 of them. And we were like, all right. And then we kind of like had this weird like look, like it was an actual odd thing for us to see 6 guys drinking out of 1 case, and we had 3 guys drinking out of 2 cases. And then it turns out Wisconsin kids can drink. And they were pretty impressed. And that was a funny story that I like, and I tell a lot when I'm around people that are from the South and that. So yeah, it's Wisconsin, it's drinking holiday, and America. So I guess I'm going to be wearing probably a bunch of American flag stuff, and I'm going to be looking awesome. So I'll probably tweet that picture out. Can't wait. But yeah, 40 minutes in, I think it's about time to get the F out of here. Thanks a lot for listening. Please, if you guys would, I'd really appreciate it if you guys went on iTunes and rated us or commented on the Twitter page, on the Facebook page. You obviously know it by this point how to get to us. It helps us out if you guys comment and there's like tangible evidence of people listening to it. I mean, iTunes is the deal. So I really, really, really appreciate it if you guys would listen to it through iTunes and rate it on iTunes and comment on iTunes, because that just helps us out. I tweeted out the link. You can go right on. What you can do is you can actually download, if you subscribe to the podcast and you have an Apple device, every time this one gets posted, which it happens like 12 hours after I post it on Podomatic, it happens on Podomatic like almost instantly as soon as I'm done recording it. It comes up. But then on iTunes, it takes a while, but it'll download automatically. As soon as a new one's out, you can just subscribe to the podcast. Just download the podcast app. It's really simple on your phone or whatever, and it instantly downloads right to your phone. And that the data that is required on iTunes is the most important, because that's the one that companies use for sponsorships and that. And the rating is the deal. That's the thing. They want to make sure people are listening to it and interacting with us. And they don't give a shit about our Twitter page. They don't give a shit about our Facebook page. It's a weird thing, and I don't know why. A lot of companies, you can't even tweet out links, which makes no sense to me, but, you know, that's the way the world works. Like, let's say we had sponsorship abc.com, and we can't tweet out, hey guys, shop on abc.com, because that would be illegal. It's why, I don't know. I mean, to me, that reaches X amount of followers, however we have, but, you know, that's just the way it is. So we can't advertise outside of the podcast, which is www.basquadcorp.com. Click on the podcast link, and then you'll see our sponsorships, and there's the Amazon.com banner. Like I said, we have just Amazon.com right now, and then I have a Profound Outdoors, so if you guys want to do some shopping on Profound Outdoors, I've always been a huge proponent of their jigs and their fun stuff, but I don't want to get into the advertising. I don't like, that's kind of what I don't like. I don't like suffocating people with ads and with fishing equipment, because it's not what I'm about. So, like I said, I'm getting the F out of here. Thanks a lot for listening, you guys. I apologize for the delay, but that's just what happens in the summer. Deal with it. Bye.